welcome to the Deuce. I'm Brad.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we're doing a special section here where we're doing werewolf sequels.
Yep. For the month of October, it is a werewolf extravaganza.
Things are about to get hairy here at the Deuce.
It's a werewolf more bar mitzvah. More than
usual. Right. And this is episode 27 of the Deuce. Well, we will be dropping Teen Wolf 2, T-O-O, 2.
You've continued to ask for it, and we've just been waiting.
No one asked for it.
Yes, they have.
Really?
Yeah. People always say Teen Wolf 2 pretty early on, but we've been waiting specifically for this.
Really? Most people say Mannequin 2 to me.
On the Move?
On the Move, yeah.
Oh, my. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Weekend at Bernie's 2 also.
Yeah. But Teen Wolf 2, we're excited about this one. Episode 27, starring the great Justin Bateman. Jason Bateman. Justine Bateman. What did I say? I get them too confused. No.
They're not like John and Joan Cusack. John and Joan Cusack.
Yeah. Jason Bateman is the younger brother of Justine Bateman, who was on Family Ties with Michael J. Fox, who was in the original movie, but I digress. Go ahead.
Yes.
You're going to say stuff about this movie to me?
Was I going to?
Yeah, you were.
How about the Jason Bateman plays the teenage werewolf in this one, and the original teenage werewolf was Michael Landon. And Jason Bateman played Michael Landon's adopted son on Little House on the
Prairie. House on the Prairie. Yeah,
later seasons.
They adopted some kids at the later seasons, yeah, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, because Sarah Gilbert and all the others were not so adorable anymore.
Yeah, Shannon Doherty was on that too.
Was she really?
Yeah, she was, whatever. I don't know what her character was. I thought her character was also adopted. Maybe I'm making that up. But that had to be before when he was on Silver Spoons.
Yeah, that was before Silver Spoons.
Jason Bateman has this weird like catalog where he was on Silver Spoons and then he wasn't really. Then he was on Hogan's Family, Valerie, and then he just wasn't in anything particular. And then all of a sudden he kind of was in these, Will Ferrell-esque kind of Jason Sudeikis movies or whatever.
Was that because his dad ran out of movies to produce
tell him that. The producer is his dad.
Yeah. The producer of this, the movie, as it's going, it says a Kent Bateman production.
Yeah.
And we both went, wait, what?
Yeah.
And this is, we have Jason Sudeikis, or Jason Sudeikis.
Now I got you going. Yeah.
No, there you go. We have Jason Bateman, thanks to nepotism.
Yes, thanks to nepotism, correct. Also, the writer of the screenplay, it was created by Jeff Loeb, right?
Jeff Loeb.
He created all the Teen Wolf.
Yeah, he created all the Teen Wolf characters. Team Jeff Wolf Loeb 1. Of, he also did Heroes and is a pretty big comic book writer.
Right.
He did the Hush line on Batman.
Oh, yeah. And then the creator, or the writer of this movie was?
Tim Kring.
Who also was creating
Heroes and worked on that. Except he goes by R. Tim Kring on this.
Right, like R.L. Stein.
Yeah. Basically.
I guess, or whatever. Yeah. So this is like the kind of like second season of Heroes. It sucks.
Correct. I blame Tim Kring on all this. and again, the exit of Jeff Loeb.
Right, the nepotism of Jason Bateman.
Correct.
Yeah.
That did ruin the second season of Heroes.
He was a teenage werewolf in that one, too. All right, why don't we drop this thing?
Okay, let's get started here. So, we open on this scenic college town. And we kind of see students walking around and populating. We sit on this one entryway for what seems like an eternity.
Sure.
While it's playing like the Hamilton University anthem.
Yeah, oh, Hamilton. Yeah. Which I don't know if it's based on the musical or the pig from Tiny Toons.
Is that Hamilton?
Oh, Hampton.
Yeah, I think it's Hampton, not Hamilton.
Is it Hampton? Hampton the pig? Well, you know.
So hey, that's your answer.
Might as well get my one joke that I bomb out right away at the beginning of the episode. No other joke will bomb now.
That's how it worked.
Got that one out of the way.
Anyway, so it focuses on this, like, forever. And then we cut to a sign, again, that we sit on for seemingly...
A little too long.
All of eternity, that says, Dean Dunn, Dean of Men.
Not related to Robin Dunn.
Dean Dunn, Dean of Men. And so now we are presumably in the office of Dean Dunn. So we go in, and Dean Dunn is played by Dean Dunn, the witches. Sorry, every time I say it, I think of it.
Dean Dunn, ding, ding, ding.
Ding, 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 ding. So the Dean is played by John Astin in a rare, like, not chipper kind of role.
No, he's pretty kind of like... You know, sinister, not like slimy.
Yeah, in this one.
Yeah.
And usually,
he's chipper.
Yeah, he's chipper and he's like, I say everything and he's very
Harry's,
positive.
And he's Harry's supposedly dad on Night Court.
Yeah,
you know?
There you go.
So,
so of course, he's talking to
Of course,
to
he's
Coach
the father of Sean.
And Sean Astin.
And McKenzie? Yep. McKenzie Astin?
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ex-wife to... Their ex-husband of Patty Duke.
Right, but we won't get into that.
Patty Duke.
So they're talking, and they're talking about how the sports needs to
so,
be better at Hamilton University.
Yeah, so it's Coach Finstock. H-U at who?
Q.
So Coach Finstock, who was the coach from the first movie.
Oh, by the way, this guy, this actor has a lot of pedigree to him. He was in Second City back in the day, and he also trained with Marcel Marceau.
Paul Sandin?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, when he was like 16.
I can see that. He's very like, for having roles that are not like overtly physical, like the way he expresses and everything
himself,
is
yeah.
very, he does good characterization with
right.
that.
And he flosses well on screen.
So, Coach Finstock is sitting next to the Dean's Rottweiler, who is just constantly snarling while the Dean throws him, like, treats.
Hot dogs.
Hot dogs.
Yeah.
And it seems
made from Hampton the pig. Come on.
Oh. Hamilton? No. the Dean has promised the Alumni Association a boxing team that's going to take them to the championship.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I don't know if is boxing a real collegiate sport?
Yeah.
Is
oh,
it?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of, like, you know, big time boxing teams.
Well,
I mean,
like,
I
the
just,
school,
I guess
it's
I don't
like
know.
Wrestling. It's not.
I guess you're
it's
right.
Like a tag team thing, but like.
But out of all the sports, this is the sport that the movie wants to go by.
That they focus on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, apparently.
Okay.
I don't know why they went with boxing. Like, there's
football
so
might have been too expensive to film.
Yeah, that might be because you now know. They can sit in a one room.
Yeah.
Thing.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, and just have people fall down in montage.
I mean, they could have done badminton.
They could have been.
Yeah. The, oh, those bad. I got to get a badminton team.
The volleyball.
Yeah, volleyball could have been. Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. A wolf playing volleyball.
It just could have been intramural. Intramurals.
Sure. I think that was Side Up, though. The movie Side Out.
Oh.
Yeah.
Go what ahead. About Hacky Sack?
Is that really a sport, Hacky Sack? Frisbee golf? Let's go on.
Okay.
We could go on.
Oh, my God. Frisbee golf. Amazing. Not that frisbee golf's amazing, but that would have been a good Teen Wolf movie.
Teen Wolf 3, frisbee golf.
Frisbee golf.
But it gives him a full ride.
Yeah, it turns out they've given a full ride scholarship
for
boxing.
He's a clarinet player, though.
To Todd Howard, played by Justin Bateman.
Jason Bateman.
I actually wrote Justin Bateman.
See?
Dude, good Lord, man.
See? I wonder if he gets that. He's like, Justin Bateman. And he's like, yeah, no, huh? Yeah.
Probably. I'm I'm pretty sure he probably pretty does.
Yeah.
So Jason
and I'm
Bateman.
Sure like Justine Bateman goes, Jason Bateman, how's it going? And she's like, no, I'm Justine
Bateman.
No, that's
not me.
Okay. Mallory. Hey, anyway. Mallory.
So he's only ever been a clarinet player in the marching band, and so he doesn't know why. He doesn't know why the coach picked him, or gave him the scholarship, and the coach is kind of like, wait for it. Like, I think
this coach, it claims that it's the coach from the. It's not. He's not the same actor from the first movie.
No,
but he knows Scott, which is Michael J. Fox's character from the first movie. Like, he taught or he coached him in the basketball?
Yeah.
I was confused by that because that's not the same actor and I don't think it's the same character. Do you know what I mean?
I thought it was the same character, but
it might be the same character, but it's not the same actor.
Right.
Yeah.
But in any case, and he was part of the coaching team or something.
Right,
like
so
that.
He knows about Scott, so yeah. He knows he wolfs out.
So I think he's betting on the same thing here for Todd.
Right.
For Todd Howard. Also, I will probably have a lot of trouble between Todd and Scott because they're so similar. Like, yesterday I kept writing and I'd write, Scott does this.
They are pretty similar.
No, wait.
Do you know what's also pretty similar? The plots to Teen Wolf and Teen Wolf 2.
It is.
So if we go through this plot and it sounds like Teen Wolf, it's actually Teen Wolf 2. So.
Yes. So... On Compass, Jesus, it is too early to be recording this.
You're the one that wanted to do it this early in the morning.
On campus, on campus, Harold Howard, who was Scott's dad,
mm-hmm.
James, who's played by James Hampton.
Right, the character from the first movie, Scott's dad. Yeah.
So same actor.
The hardware store guy.
Mm-hmm. He helps, he's helping his nephew, Todd, move on to campus.
Hey, Todd.
Well, Todd.
Well, Todd.
So, Todd relates how much he has to worry about when Uncle Howard points out his other potential problem. Todd seems confused, so then Uncle Harold reminds him by turning into a werewolf in broad daylight.
I'm okay, Todd. Wolf it out. I'm proud of myself.
Out. Be proud of your body. I'm wolfing out.
Be proud of it. Look at me.
So Todd says he hates when they turn into werewolves, but he won't have to worry about it because it skipped his family.
Right. His mom and dad aren't werewolves of what he knows.
Well, yeah. I'm assuming his dad is probably related, not his mom.
Okay.
To Uncle Howard.
Right, because my biology class said that the werewolf gene usually comes through the man of the family.
Okay. Right, but unless Todd's dad married his sister, he'd find another werewolf girl somewhere.
Right, that's what I mean.
Anyway. So Uncle Harold says that while it does skip some families... Todd shouldn't count out the possibility of it coming up.
Like skipped a generation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's still a recessive gene somewhere.
Yeah. Kind of like how my great aunt is a lesbian or was a lesbian because she's no longer with us. Yeah. So it's like skipped a generation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
Todd, embarrassed, asks his Uncle Harold to revert back to human form before he gets to his dorm. And as they're driving in his uncle's creepy hardware
van. I mean, this thing's...
But it makes sense, so it's a hardware store van.
No, it's a pedo van, but it has a hardware... Yeah, he works at a hardware store.
Yeah,
yes.
It's one of those where it actually makes sense that he has this kind of van.
Yeah.
So...
Yes.
They're getting ready to pull
because
into
he's
his
pedo.
God, stop that. He's getting ready to pull into a spot, and this sports car... just swerves around them and steals the spot.
Right. A la Miami Vice style, kind of.
Yeah, like, they basically just peel out, going like a bat out of hell around them, and they get in the spot. Todd jumps out of the car and says, hey, that's our parking space. And the yuppie douchebags get out and have a stare down with Todd, who eventually backs off.
Mm-hmm.
And says they'll find another spot. And, of course, these douchebags will keep coming up throughout the show.
Right, because why wouldn't they? I mean, they're kind of, you know,
it's the
bullies or the rich kids.
Yeah, it's Gustafson is the main guy.
Okay, yeah,
who
yeah.
I don't even think goes to the school.
I don't think he does either, but he's always there.
Yes, but Gustafson is always
there. He goes to Academy.
And then Lisa and Emily are the two.
Right. I think he just fancies Lisa and Emily and
yeah, probably
just hangs out.
So Todd gets to his dorm room and meets his roommate, Styles.
That's not Styles.
The hell it is.
The hell that's not Styles. First of all, Styles does not have a mullet.
Yeah, this guy has a super mullet.
I mean, we're talking Richard Dean Anderson, MacGyver mullet. He does not have that mullet. Styles is cool.
He's a scrawny short kid now.
Oh, yeah.
With a mullet. And so it's now they actually changed the actor.
I really love Styles from the first movie. He's one of my favorite. Yeah. Like, I like the guy. He pops up every once in a while, like on TV shows and movies. And you're like, Styles. This guy's not Styles.
No, he's now played by Stuart Fratkin.
Yeah. Yes. I call him the clothes that he wears, he's like the original Vacation Jason.
He is the original Vacation Jason.
Or he has no Styles.
Now, I will have to say that I think I like the actor who played Styles in the first one more. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
But I like Styles as a character more in this one.
Yeah. Yeah, it's more dramatic.
He plays it differently. He has more heart with it. I like the other actor, but this guy, I think, does a better job of making me like Styles.
Yeah, sure. He's not really in it that much.
No, he's not, which is part of the part of the charm of it.
I think his hair is longer than his part in this movie.
I was thinking like your part of his mullet. Hair.
Oh, yeah, I gotcha. Yeah, yeah. No.
Uncle Harold.
So obviously that's a character from the first movie.
Yes. Friend. So they get in there, and Uncle Harold is startled to see Styles. Styles, gives him, an old hamburger or some garbage or whatever and sends Uncle Harold on his way.
Yeah, I'm like, come on, dude. Back when, the fast food put it in the styrofoam stuff. Yeah.
So Uncle Harold gives Todd some groceries and a warning about Styles. He said Styles knows who they are, who their family is. When Todd says he doesn't have to worry about being a werewolf and starts saying that, Uncle Harold shushes him.
Yeah.
For don't say it out in the open.
You were all like, hey, dude, look at me, I'm wolfing out, and I'm driving you on campus.
You were like a damn werewolf in the middle of
it's moving day, so everyone's out.
Yeah, and of course, they clearly saw you at the crosswalk, so they know what you are, yet when he says the word, you're like, don't.
He's constantly trying to tell him not to use his werewolfisk.
Yeah, but you just do it willy-nilly to prove points.
I don't know.
So he says, Todd says he'll be fine, and Uncle Harold drives away. And of course, as he's driving away, he turns back into a damn werewolf. He's waving out the window with
wolf hands.
I think
they didn't have enough money, so they could use the hand, because we only see his hand outside the window.
Well, right.
So it's just do the left hand.
Yeah. But still, for somebody who's so squeamish about saying the word.
Yeah, no, I know. I know the character-wise, but I'm talking about money for the movie.
Yes.
I mean, they had to use all that money for that dancing.
I know. Oh, it's coming up. It's glorious. So now a chubby man wearing fencing gear shows up and stabs the bag of groceries that Todd is carrying. So...
If you know your Teen Wolf, the chubby guy is Chubbs or Chubby.
Yeah,
from the first
Chubby.
Movie.
Yep, yeah. Played by Mark Holton
from the first movie. So he's playing the same character. So we know him.
Yeah, from Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Correct.
Anyway, but I'm also wondering why he has the fencing foil that clearly is sharpened. You really could kill somebody with that, man. Because he stabs it right into the bag of groceries.
Yeah, and it hits his chocolate milk.
Enough to, puncture the container of chocolate milk. So maybe you shouldn't have that and be playing around with it in the hallway. Anyway.
But we do find out Todd likes chocolate milk.
He does.
I mean, that's important.
I was not surprised by that. So they get to back into the room, and
this room's a mess.
It is.
Has everything.
He says you don't have to pick up after yourself. You're on your
own. I think
I
saw Pee Wee Herman's bike in that.
Pretty sure we did.
Because Chubbs stole it.
It's true. That's where else would you stash it? So Styles tells Todd, hey, look, your class schedule was really boring. I changed all your classes for you.
Right, to basket weaving.
And women's candle making something like that.
I don't think it's women's candle.
It's there something
it
like
women's volleyball.
Is it women's volleyball?
Yeah, something like that.
And candle making is on there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, of course, Todd says he wants to
study
science.
I don't think we need to be, I think women or men could go to that class, too.
Candle making?
Yeah, I don't think you need to be gender specific there, Jeremy.
There was something in there that said women's something.
Yeah, women's volleyball, not women's candle.
I thought it was, okay, whatever.
So only women can make candles? Is that what you're saying? Okay,
no,
you can direct your angry letters to, no, I'm just joking.
There's, no. Let's see here, so... So, yes, he wants to study science to be a veterinarian, but Styles gave him all of these bird courses. Todd goes to change his schedule.
You mean like horticology? Is that the bird course?
The bird courses?
Is that
ornithology?
Ornithology, I'm sorry.
No, he gives
horticology
him...
Horticology is plants. No, that's botany.
Horticulture is...
Horticulture.
Yeah, no. So,
he's learning to be a whore.
Correct.
Okay.
Cultural whores. The
ooh, I'm a whore, but I do love the theater.
No. Bird courses, as in we fly right through.
No, I know what a bird course is. I watched it.
Hey.
Sister Act 2. Todd wants to change
Todd goes
his
to change his schedule.
Yeah.
And he overhears the lady at the counter basically tearing everybody a new
no,
one.
No, you can't change your classes.
You know, nobody changes their classes, which is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Right?
It's like runs rampant.
This lady is a character actor. She's one of those people that you've seen her.
Yeah, Kathleen Freeman.
She's been in everything.
Yeah.
But Gremlins, she was in Gremlins.
Yeah, she was on the show Microwaving with Marge in Gremlins 2.
Yes. Oh, Gremlins 2. Yeah. Gotcha.
So, where she kept getting drunk on cooking sherry.
Oh, that is her. Oh, my God. Yeah.
So, she's chewing everybody out. And of course, Todd just kind of, walks into the middle of the line, as they do in movies.
Oh, God, he cuts in front of everyone.
No, nobody raises a stink
either. No one's mad at him.
No. She starts to chew him out. But, his eyes turn red and gets the deep voice and says he wants to change his classes. So
yeah, usually it takes about a couple days for a new freshman to get red eyes.
Yeah, where were you going that it took a couple days?
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah. In my college, it took a couple minutes.
So, and of course, he's also, they have his forehead is bulging.
Yeah, his forehead is
bulging.
Which
is weird. You could have just done the eyes. It'd probably been okay.
I think so. Just do the eyes. I mean, we don't need to see that forehead, that beautiful forehead of Jason Bateman.
So she says that he can get his classes changed if the professors allow him in and basically do an override and sign to let him get into the class. So he goes to see...
Take this, never talk to me again, because she's frightened by him.
And bring it back to somebody else.
Yeah, somebody else.
Yeah. So
I don't see anyone else working, so he's going to have to.
Yeah.
Because everyone's going through you, lady. There's a line out the door, but go ahead.
Well, she was there replacing the lady who they lost from American Psycho 2.
Right.
He goes to see the science professor, Professor Brooks.
Professor Brooks! Played by Cynthia Nixon.
Yeah, right? She looks like Cynthia Nixon.
It wasn't Cynthia Nixon?
No, it's
kidding. Are you kidding me?
No, it is not Cynthia Nixon. Although she had a red Cynthia Nixon-esque hairstyle.
Oh, it looked like, after Cynthia Nixon, it looked pretty,
Yeah. But it's played by Kim
short
Darby.
Hair, really short. Kim Darby?
K- Kim Darby.
Darby, yeah, yeah, yeah. From
the mother from Better Off Dead.
Sure, True Grit is what I was going to say.
Oh yeah, from True Grit.
Right,
yeah.
But
you might also recognize her as Sweetie Pie from the 1979 made-for-TV movie Flatbed Annie and Sweetie Pie.
Annie and Sweetie Pie.
: Lady Truckers.
Yeah, Lady Truckers. I love that movie. No, I've never heard of it.
Before. You've never heard of Flatbed Annie and Sweetie Pie: Lady Truckers?
No, sounds good though.
Oh, it sounds great. She plays Sweetie Pie.
I'm gonna guess. In case you're wondering, is that a late night like show on?
Probably the Cinemax. 1979 movie. No, it's a made-for-TV thing.
Oh, it's a made-for-TV movie?
Yeah, 1979.
And were they lady truckers? Like female convoy?
Yeah.
I want to watch that now.
Flatbed Annie was, a girl who went to my high school, by the way.
Oh, just stop.
Anyway, so...
I can believe that.
So he goes to get an override to get into the class. And, of course, while he's there trying to talk to the professor, he meets Nikki, played by S.D. Chandler.
Hasn't really done much.
I mean, she does a lot of visual.
Oh, yeah, stuff. She did. She's a visual artist.
Yeah, she's a visual arts specialist. She does tons of things.
For Team America World Police.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Tons of things she's worked on. But she shares his love of science, so they're both...
So she went from this to making puppets fuck.
Correct.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's fair. Step she did up. Other things in between that.
Step up.
That's just her culminating achievement.
Yeah, right.
Her crowning achievement, rather. So Todd talks to Coach Finstock then and
can
realizes...
They're looking through it. She's looking through a microscope, by the way. Nikki.
Yeah.
I'm looking for the whatever thing. And he finds it.
I can't see
it.
Yeah.
Can't see it. And he's like... Pushes it closer to her. Look through the eyepiece. It's like looking through a microscope never looked more unsexy to me. Yeah.
Well, then he's like, you also have to turn it on. And turns it on.
I'm like, what?
Well, how did you get this far? You don't know how a freaking microscope
She was
works?
Looking through that thing for like for the 5 minutes he was there. Was she just like, I can't see anything. Maybe if I keep looking at it, it will show up.
Yeah, if she's your competition in science, I think you're doing okay.
Oh, please.
Professor Brooks, me not know how to work a microscope.
He needs to mansplain it
me,
to her.
Me, Nikki, not know microscope. So they talk to Coach Finstock, and then Todd starts to realize he got this athletic scholarship because Finstock was like one of the coaches in Beacontown, where they came from. So, or Wolverton.
This college is in Colorado? We assumed because there's Colorado license plates.
Tons of Colorado license plates, or you just explains the red eye, or you just have to be high to make this movie.
A mile high, I think. A little bit of both. Yeah.
So he tells the coach that he can't wolf out, and the coach tells him, you know, give boxing a shot anyway. Just go in there, get your head knocked off, and you know, just collect your scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
In the ring, so we cut to the boxing now. So in the ring, Todd is sparring with Chubby.
Chubbs.
Just trying to practice a little bit. And, of course, Dean shows up to watch the team in action. He wants to know which one was Howard. Which one is Todd Howard? And, of course, the coach calls to him. Todd starts to turn to look to see what's going on, and Chubbs just catches him with a left hook in the face, and down he goes.
Mm-hmm.
So the dean comes over and says this better be a joke, and that he expects more out of him while squirting him in the face with like one of those water bottles.
Water balls, yeah.
Get up, Rocky. Come on. Bam. And, of course, all this time, too, like the dog is licking the coach's feet.
Mm-hmm.
It's very odd.
Foot licker.
Yeah.
What a foot licker.
Foot licker. So Todd goes to the library. And he grabs this book, but it's a classic library gag. He's grabbing it through the shelf. On the other side, Nikki is grabbing it and pulling it from that way.
Classic.
And so she insinuates he's not going to need it because it's really going to be over his head anyway. When he's confused what she means by that, she says, because you're a jock. You got an athletic scholarship. You're
a jock.
So Todd gets upset and starts having a tantrum in the library.
Yeah, doesn't wolf out, but has a tantrum.
Yeah, he does have a tantrum.
He starts throwing books.
Yeah, he starts throwing books. And then this guy who, I don't know, he looks like John Waters.
With a weird mustache.
He has like the pencil
mustache.
He has
actually a thicker mustache than John Waters.
A little bit thicker mustache.
So go ahead.
John Rivers. So
John Rivers?
Yeah.
Is that what? Like the male John
Waters,
Rivers?
John Waters with... No,
oh, that is John Rivers.
John Rivers. It's John Waters, but with a thicker mustache. The guy keeps shushing him, and like Todd throws a book at him, and the guy shushes again.
Everywhere.
Yeah. And then the guy... Todd tells the guy to shut up, and his eyes start turning red again.
Yeah.
And, of course, the guy kind of backs off then.
Some of the books that he threw? Ow! American history? Pre-law pa? Statistics on my fur? And a dog catcher in the rye?
I think dog catcher in the rye is probably...
Yeah, I read them when he threw them. I read all of them.
Wolf and Peace.
Go ahead.
Howl to succeed in business with that.
So he runs out of the library.
Yes, yeah, so he runs
and
out of the library.
The nerdy girl Nikki follows her.
And Nikki follows him. Yeah, she follows him to console him. And she gives him the book, and they both kind of simmer down. So he starts walking with her. So now they're walking, and they're talking about science. Before he said he wanted to be a veterinarian, now his specialty area is in crustacean reproduction. Which kudos, I don't know what kind of veterinarian you're going to be, but sure. A lot of people bring in their lobsters.
Yes, sure.
They're lobsters who need Viagra to the veterinarian. Mm-hmm. So now Nikki.
Colin Farrell always brings his lobsters to. I want to be a lobster.
God, I hope not.
I want to be a lobster.
I don't think that lobster would have a problem reproducing.
Good choice. Good choice, a lobster. I want to be a lobster.
hold on. What? Are those both Colin Farrell and what's her name's impressions?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. What's wrong with that?
Nope. They were great.
Okay. What were they supposed to be?
Impressions are doing. Just
I can't
fun.
Do impressions, but I try. You got to give me points for trying.
I do.
We
give
are
you
doing
for trying.
Teen Wolf 2 right now. Not lobster. So where are we at? Fundraiser? Are we at the fundraiser?
No, we're not. So Nikki and Todd, so there's this weird scene where they're just randomly at a string quartet.
I want to be a lobster. A lobster, that's a great choice.
What? Anyway, so they've walked into the string quartet.
You're the one that wanted to do this at 8 in the morning on a Sunday. Seems a great idea.
It's an amazing idea. So... they're listening to the string quartet, but the music is clearly like synth.
Yeah, that
like
was weird.
Synth strings. Yeah. It was so weird. I don't know if the audio didn't come out and they thought, we got this.
We got it.
But yeah, it came out really bad. But yeah, so they were just walking. They walk into a string quartet and just hang out for a little bit. And then they start walking again. So Todd asks Nikki this question while they're walking. He asks if she's free. And she's like, oh, yeah, you know, maybe not Friday night because of this, but Saturday night. And she's going on. And he was like, wow, that's weird. You do lab work, lab partner work on Saturdays? And, of course, she's embarrassed because he's thinking that, you know, he's thinking
yeah,
of him in,
she needs
as
help.
Lab partner.
She doesn't know how to turn on a microscope.
And
she blinded him with science.
She blinded herself.
With science.
With not science. but he says that maybe sometime he'll ask her out on a real date. So Todd goes to the alumni dinner, or like foundation.
Yeah,
thing.
Fundraiser. Yeah.
Yeah, and the same girls from earlier just treat him like shit when he gets there.
Yeah.
He meets up with Nikki and of course is having a good time. The dean shows up and was like, "Hey, this is going to be our new big this boxing person,
Mrs. St. Clair." He introduces him to Mrs. St. Clair, one of the donators.
Oh, yeah.
That's all. I just wanted to say that.
Okay, Mrs. St. Clair. But then the dean has like introduces Lisa and Emily, and is making
Emily
them
is
dance
her name.
With
I put
him.
Lisa, but I couldn't think of the other girl's name because she really doesn't have that many lines.
No, she doesn't.
Yeah,
Lisa played by Beth Ann Miller.
Yeah, Beth Ann Miller.
So, but he makes her dance with him, and of course, Emily laughs, and the dean's like, "Well, you're next. You know, you got to keep him happy." Of course, Nikki gets upset that they're dancing. Like, he dips Emily and everything like that, or dips Lisa, and is trying to be...
Most of our main characters are at this fundraiser, including yeah. Chubbs playing the tuba.
Yeah, Chubbs is there playing a tuba.
Styles is working. He's serving people at this party.
Yeah, very weird.
Like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, it's very odd. Nikki ends up leaving because she's upset because of him dancing with Lisa. And, of course, when she realizes that Nikki's getting upset, she kind of pulls him in closer.
Mm-hmm.
That's when Nikki leaves. But due to that, Todd's hormones start taking over. And, you know, he starts sweating real bad and his eyes are red. And you start seeing his ears change. And you realize he's starting to wolf out.
Whenever, even in the first movie, whenever they do the nails, I always think they're Lee press-on nails.
Yeah.
I immediately go, oh, Lee press-on nails.
I like the nail effect.
Really? I
like the transition nail effects where they're kind of long, but not where they're like the full-on. Because mm-hmm. when they're full-on ones.
But I just remember those Lee press-on nail yeah. commercials back in the day. So that's what I always would always remember.
But yeah, he has like the nails all of a sudden. And I actually kind of like, well, and you see a lot of the, like, Chubbs is, like, looking confused watching yeah. him while he's playing the tuba. But they also have
the
this
music
kind
is
of,
getting
like,
louder and louder.
They have this kind of, like, minuet playing,
mm-hmm.
but then it just kind of gets atonal. So then mm-hmm. it's not, like, it sounds really kind of creepy or weird or disorienting. I think just to represent the fact that something's happening. Or that he's changing.
Right, here. So he continues to change.
Yes.
He looks at himself in Chubb's tuba?
Yeah, he looks at himself in the reflection of the tuba.
Starts getting fangs and starts kind of changing. The yeah. fangs start get going.
Yeah, so at that point he's going, oh no, oh no. And when he turns around, he's all wolfed out.
Right.
Also, I do not think the makeup looks as good as this. Like you
no,
can see,
I don't think it does either.
You can see where the seams are
yes,
in the makeup
the
this time.
Yeah,
like where it was the different prosthetic
pieces. I actually put in my notes say, "Tuba or not tuba, a Teen Wolf." That is Todd's question.
That is good
because he looks through the tuba.
That should have been the tagline yeah. for the movie.
Oh, it should have been. That's awesome. Yeah.
But then Lisa says. I can't believe I danced with a dog.
Yeah. Well, everyone's like, gross. What's going on? They've yeah. never seen it.
Which is interesting because this movie starts this long. This is the first mention in this like a long path of where people don't know the difference between a dog and a
yes,
wolf.
Yes, a dog and a wolf. Even I don't. I put a dog catcher in the rye. So evidently I don't either. So
yours was in the spirit of the movie where they are yeah. all confused though. But, of course, he runs out and she gets pistachio fluff dumped all over her.
Was that? Like, my mom has that fluff where it's pistachio fluff?
Yes.
You love
I
that stuff.
I think that's what I love that stuff.
Yeah, I hate that
so
stuff.
So good.
Maybe I'll eat it now because I like pistachios.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know. It looks disgusting.
Oh, no. It's so good.
I thought it was guacamole. But it was fluff.
Was it? Oh, that was an awful lot of guacamole. That was, if that's guacamole, that was like a $3,000
All those people love their
guacamole
at that fundraiser.
Pretty sure it was like pistachio
fluff. Okay.
So Todd runs back to his dorm room, followed quickly by Styles. And Styles is telling him to calm down. Todd says, I had a beard all over my body. I had nails the size of French fries. and I had teeth. All the way to Texas. Obviously, he might be good at science, but he's not good at creative writing.
No, not at all.
No, his analogies.
He hasn't taken that class yet. It's a prereq.
So Styles is excited because now he gets to sell merchandise.
Which he is good at. Like
yeah.
he was good at in the first
and he
movie.
Also, yeah, and he also
suggests this is his bread and butter.
Yeah. Also, it suggests be the mascot. be the mascot for the school. I'm trying to like the last one.
The Hamilton Teen Wolves.
Yeah, the Hamilton Teen Wolf Twos. But they, you know, in the he still showed or earlier they showed he still had a bunch of Teen Wolf gear he never sold.
Yeah.
So this is his chance to
yeah
to do it, and thank God this happened his freshman year, because if he had gotten too much older, it wouldn't have been a Teen Wolf. It,
yes, that's
but
true.
20 something wolf.
It would have been like a tween wolf. No, a 20 like a I don't know what it would have been. What do you call yourself in the mid just 20s? I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
20 something. Anyway.
20 something wolf.
30 something wolf.
Oh, with a lot of whining in that movie. Go
Timothy
Wimothy. Timothy. Timothy
where,
Busfield.
Where Timothy Busfield?
Oh.
So in melodramatic history class, so students like they're listening to this melodrama about Abraham Lincoln and his final day. But while they're all bored to death, the students decide they're going to open a petri dish of bugs near Todd. Yeah, I assume they were fleas.
I'm just going to assume they're fleas because they're dog.
Right, because they don't go with that motif.
Who has a petri fish full of fleas?
No clue.
I don't know.
So, of course, they set it by his leg and they start climbing into his pants and biting him. He runs out.
I was like, he's so close to his neighbor sitting next to him.
Yeah.
Yet his neighbor didn't get any fleas. I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's true. It's very odd.
Yeah.
Because we all know that if we put them there, it's like a targeted whatever. Like,
oh, it's only going to go to that person.
I'm going to open the thing of fleas, and then we are all going to have fleas. And they're going to be there for a while.
Yeah.
Like, your classroom is pretty much screwed for a while. So Todd runs out into the hall, and of course he runs into the dean, who thinks he was playing a prank with a dog mask at the fundraiser.
Well, so did everyone else, because that makeup was terrible.
Yeah, it's true. So he tells Todd that he better win or he'll ruin his academic career. Mm-hmm. Like, he's going to call every dean, because he knows every dean everywhere, and make sure he can't get into any other school. So students start harassing Todd pretty bad. They leave no dogs allowed signs on his door. Bowls of dog food they leave out for him. And then pictures.
Signs to say, doggone, you're cute.
Yeah, and pictures of dogs, like.
Yeah.
They, like, destroyed his report.
The difference between the dog and the wolf, maybe Hamilton's not the greatest school to get a full ride at.
No wonder he got the full scholarship here. Why the girl can't turn on the
microscope?
Yeah.
This is the dumbest college ever.
This should all be a clue to all of you. And Stiles and Chubbs are here.
Yeah, right?
So.
Yeah, now, right? Stiles got in?
No.
What's your prereq to get into school?
Not much. So Professor Brooks says she'll help him however she can. She's concerned about him, and she's his academic advisor. So she's concerned that something's going on, and of course he says, don't worry about it. I can take care of myself. I'm fine. In the meantime, Nikki continues to try and spend time with Todd. He's trying to push her away just so she can save her reputation. You don't want to be dragged down with me. And she doesn't care. And she kisses him, to show that she really likes him. So now we go to the big first boxing match.
First boxing match, where we are going against Academy, I think they are.
there is a name for the Academy.
The reason I say Academy, because their uniforms say Hamilton.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking you put the first name of your school on there. So if they're Hamilton University, these people are either Academy University or Academy.
Correct. So I'm guessing Academy.
So also. Academy.
So they say it later.
Which is something that this movie never flirted with, an Academy Award. So I'm just saying.
So they say the name of this academy like way later in the movie.
Yeah.
And we rewound it a couple times and could not understand it.
Academy, like, academy.
And from academy.
So they're all boxing and they're all losing. The whole team's terrible.
Well, okay, so Hamilton loses its first match. Just the guy gets knocked out. Chubby wins the second match in one of like the worst, one of the worst matches ever. He's like cheating. He's grabbing them. Like, I mean, it's just the worst. And of course the ref does like nothing about it. It's goofy in like Chubb's fashion. So the next boxer, who comes up, he kicks this Hamilton boxer's butt real bad. Just, you know, destroys this guy. Actually, and that's Gus, I think. That is Gus, who is the main rival. I think I read his name was Gustavson.
Okay, yeah.
A.K.A. Yeah. Gus. But they don't say his name, like, ever until the end.
I think it's not important.
Yeah.
He's kind of just a guy in the shadows watching.
Who wears sunglasses at inappropriate times.
All the time.
Yeah. And so so Gus kicks this dude's ass. And then, you know, they're like, okay, Todd, you're up. So Todd gets up to fight this other meathead guy. He manages to keep dodging and getting out of the out of arm's reach. But finally the guy catches up to him and knocks him down. The dean says Todd is history, and everybody's kind of like, well, that's it. He's done for. But then Todd's eyes go red, and he starts wolfing out.
Right.
Of course, he starts wolfing out, and then we see him, like, fly through the air like he was jumping down off of
something.
Can
we go back to the coach? I'm sorry. I was shooing away our cat. The coach has ADD. Like, he flosses. He has got a Rubik's Cube. I just thought that was kind of weird and odd, but funny.
But they did that before, too. They just played with, like, the coach doesn't give two craps.
Yeah, he's nonchalant. This guy is the definition of nonchalant.
Yeah.
Now, back to Todd wolfing out, right?
Yeah, so he wolfs out.
Wolfs out, but, like, for me, I'm like, why did the nails not rip into, like, the, like, Wolverine kind of, like, the boxing glove? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I figured that would hurt. Because your hands are in a boxing glove?
Well, they're already...
Just saying.
Well, and it should be cushioning them from...
Yeah, I guess.
From inside your thing.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
But still, if they're sharp, they probably are poking through. I don't know.
Yeah.
Werewolf physics.
Just saying. That should have been that. He's really Vander Wolfenfield. Look, my jokes never work, so don't worry. Don't look at me like that. I think people just like it when they fail, so I'll just write stuff that I know is going to fail. So, Evander Wolfenfield. Right?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Not even Evander Howleyfield.
Stop! Why do you always do a joke better than me?
So, the refs...
We're going to get to my favorite scene here soon. So, I love it.
I know. So, the refs now... I don't know if anybody here has been a referee at something before, but if one of your players turns into a Wolverine or a, like,
don't you call timeout? Don't
werewolf.
You feel like, no, I don't think so.
Yeah, they're like, well, he is standing up. I guess that's the only rule. Let's go. So, it's unfair when these kind of things happen, though. I mean, I had one time at a swim meet. That I was at, my opponent turned into a creature from the Black Lagoon.
Oh, just stop.
I wasn't on the swim team. Kidding me. The So Todd wins the match by becoming a werewolf and beating the other guy up.
One time at the football game, the guy turned into a hunchback. The quarterback turned actually into a hunchback.
He was playing hunchback.
So he went from quarterback to hunchback. Yeah. True story.
Who did he play for?
Academy.
Not even Notre Dame.
Oh, damn it, Notre Dame. God, that's good. Okay, go ahead. Go get. We gotta get to my favorite part.
I know. I'm coming to it. I'm dragging my feet to it.
Yeah.
So Todd wins because apparently there's nothing specific in the handbook about werewolves, so it's allowed.
Yeah. Right.
But they hold a celebration now where Todd is the guest of honor. And really, it just starts out with, they don't explain what this party is, how they got there, how it got set up, none of that.
Oh, it's just a party.
Styles just goes, we have our guest of honor here. And do you know it's like the power cuts out part of the way? It cuts out and goes
back
in. That's
the budget.
He says, you know, we have a guest of honor here. You know, Todd Howard, the Teen Wolf. And now he comes up and starts singing, Do You Love Me?
Do You Love Me? Lip syncing, not singing.
No, very much lip syncing.
Very lip syncing.
Lip syncing. And doing this big choreographed dance number. And seriously, it is choreographed. There's students doing all this stuff, and it keeps going. Like, this song is like 12 minutes longer than the actual song is.
It is, keeps going.
Yeah.
That movie, that song is not that long.
No.
Barry Gordy loves this movie.
Yeah. Lisa and Emily fawn over over Todd, while the other partygoers seem to just be trashing everything. He sees Nikki, but he doesn't stop and instead just embraces that everybody's worshiping him now. Of course, she leaves in a huff, or in a minute in a huff. It's hard to tell because this drags on forever.
Nope. Oh.
Anyway.
That's not the only thing that drags on forever in this movie. Because even after this choreographed dance, after this lovely lip-synced performance of Bow Wow Wow Land,
they
instead of La La Land, it turns into like Teen Wolf 2, the musical.
Yeah, it does. The at one point they push him up on one of these like those parachute things.
Yeah, the parachute things,
and he flies up. And he, with a banner or with whatever.
And then shoots himself down via zip like lines, a down zip the, line. Yeah.
Down like, into the crowd.
What
yeah.
The?
And so, so this song goes on forever. But then it comes back to Styles doing this like musical bit. Not a montage, but like it's just all set to music. Nobody talking. Styles starts selling merchandise.
Oh, merchandise. Yeah.
On a bike. And so he throws an officially licensed Teen Wolf Frisbee, which Todd catches in his mouth, as wolves often do.
Jesus. Catches it right in his mouth.
Yeah.
I mean, this has to be like a highlight for Jason Bateman for all the like Emmys and Golden Globes that he's won. That once in a movie he caught a fucking frisbee in his mouth.
There you go.
I mean, that is amazing.
So now we go to a boxing montage, which is scored by Oingo Boingo's Who Do You Want to Be? So it just keeps going. Todd is training. He's going up.
That's a song
opponents.
That keeps going on forever, too.
Yeah. He's knocking them all out, including one. He literally hits straight up in the air, and the guy, like, flies over the ropes and through a table.
Flies.
Which we're all okay with.
Just all this montage of him, you know, practicing and all the matches.
So, in all of this, no one has come up with any kind of anti-werewolf rule for boxing. it's like somebody...
You figured Academy would be all over that.
Well, it's like somebody showed up with a gun, and they're like,
well...
I mean, there's no specific rule against
no one said
shooting
you
your opponent.
Shoot your opponent.
Yeah, so well. I guess he wins. He's fine. And, of course, the Dean is loving it this whole time.
Yeah.
It's
the right to bear arms, not the right to wolf arms.
Ooh, there you go. So now we have, like, a 30-second pause here where Gus, his rival... is knocking out another opponent at his school at the Academy, and somebody runs up and they're like, what do you think's going to happen? You know, you have to go up, you're going to have to go up against Todd Howard. You know, how are you going to do this? And blah, blah, blah. And he goes, every dog has his day, and his day is mine.
Okay. Again, he's a wolf, not a dog.
Yeah.
Back to another montage.
And then we cut right back to the same. We restart Oingo Boingo. Who do you want to be again?
Oh, yeah. And so this is where he's training. It's weird because it's like
it was only a 30-second pause in there.
Everybody wants a piece of Todd. Everyone, phrasing, but everyone wants to be Todd. Everyone wants to do. He's popular now.
Right? Yeah, and like he gets like an A+ on his paper, and of course the professor like winks at him. Yeah. And is, you know, very.
Yeah,
like,
I actually put now everyone wants to have his $1 million wolf babies.
Yes.
I thought you would laugh harder at that joke.
At first, I was like, I don't get it. But yeah. No, I definitely get it. God, it works on so many levels.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. But we go to another montage, right?
Yes. Sorry.
It's a good joke. I'm sorry.
So, okay. Well, the dean hooks him up with like a sports car.
Right.
With like a Ferrari or something. Which... it goes from the Oingo Boingo, who do you want to be montage part two, directly into a different montage. Right. It goes into a car driving montage, which also is playing Oingo Boingo, Outrageous.
Another Oingo Boingo song.
So weird.
I'm thinking the director was all like, well, I've been listening to a lot of Oingo Boingo lately. Let's just put that one in.
I feel like he was like, oh my God, our movie is how short?
Right, because this goes on forever.
Yeah.
By the way, the license plates on his new car are saying Team Wolf 2, T-O-O.
I thought it just said Wolf 2.
Oh, it says Wolf 2. Yeah, it says Wolf 2, but still.
T-O-O.
Why are you saying 2, T-O-O? No.
Because now he is also a wolf.
Because you're also a wolf? But you're not. You're the third wolf that we know. Okay, I'm just saying.
So in this car montage, Todd is driving and Chubby's in the passenger seat in the Ferrari, and he's like running bicyclists off the road. Like he seriously is coming up to a bicyclist and hitting his back tire.
Oh yeah, that was Pee-wee's
fault. Yeah, before forcing the guy off. Which gave Chubbs some ideas about how to handle a certain pest.
My rival.
So, basically, they pull over. He tells Chubby to get out of the car so he can get Lisa and Emily in. And of course, when he does that, Chubbs is going to get back in the car, but Todd just leaves him.
Mm-hmm.
So Todd abandons his friend. And like at one point he's about to run over a bunch of pedestrians, one of whom is Lisa, and she's kind of like walks off because she's done with him at this point. Styles gets, so finally the montage is done. This montage, by the way, between the musical dance number, not counting the musical dance number, just the montages together is about 8 minutes of the movie.
And that dance number was, what, 5?
Yeah. Had to have been.
So we're talking, what, 15 minutes of the movie?
Yeah, probably coming up close to like.
And the movie itself is only 40 minutes?
No, minutes I wish movie.
Was. Yeah.
That was just through dancing and singing and montage.
None of this makes sense. It's not that none of this makes sense. It's all pointless.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be in this.
No, it shouldn't be. So Styles gets back to his room, and you hear Todd and the girls giggling from inside. And Todd has locked him out. And of course, because he opens the door and the chain is there, so he can't get in. Well, the girls tell him to go away and stay somewhere else. So Styles goes to stay with Chubbs, who is like in pajamas in bed in the middle of the day, and is farting a bunch because, you know,
college.
And then Styles goes, I've created a monster, which I was like, oh my God, Styles has some sort of like reflection on this. Since in college, maybe he grew a little bit. Who knows?
Yeah, his hair, at least the back part of it.
He's all
the front part.
He's business up front.
Party in the back.
So in biology...
He's party all right.
In biology, Todd can't dissect the frog because he's missed those classes where they were supposed to be doing that. Nikki is mad at him for doing all this stuff, like who he's become, Todd says that she's just jealous, which is the wrong answer.
Mm-hmm.
But she slaps him in the face with the dead frog. So he
frog fight.
Well, he throws it at her.
He throws
and it hits a dude, one. Who then grabs it and throws it back. Well, then it hits somebody behind Todd, and then just some random lady gets up and yells, "Frog fight!"
Classic college frog fight. And every college
movie has a frog
fight.
And there's some live frogs too, and they're just putting them in people's clothes and whatever else. And of course,
this makes
Professor
that
Brooks,
ET scene look like nothing.
Yeah.
Professor
Brooks shows up and she's like, "Oh no, no frog fights in my room."
Like this has happened before.
Like this is a normal occurrence. Frog fights.
Oh great, not another frog fight.
Well, it was supposed to be a food fight, but I cut some food on the script and you couldn't read it. So Professor Brooks pulls Todd aside.
Over the 1-0 with a D. So everyone's like, I guess it's frog fighting. It's biology. Fight? So let's just throw a bunch of frogs.
Frog insurance? So Professor Brooks says she's worried about Todd. She pulls him aside and she says she's worried. You know, she sees him coasting through school and accepting gifts. And he says he doesn't need biology. He doesn't need science. He's just about the team. And playing and doing boxing is going to take him far, so he doesn't need all this garbage. And he's doing just fine, so he takes off. Basically says, I think he pretty much quits the class. Nikki meets him outside and asks what happened to him and says she misses the old Todd. He says, well, the wolf lets him do whatever he wants. And so he's not going to be that repressed nerd anymore. He's done with that. Now at mini golf, which I do have to say, it was kind of impressive.
I'm telling you, 80s had the best mini golf courses.
Yeah, they did.
That mini golf was amazing. Oh, and what was impressive was what you're going
to
say about
so they had
Jason
so the course, just to set it up. It's like it was kind of like a hill thing, except it was indented on the top, so the ball would like swirl around the indention and then down into the hole. Jason Bateman takes two golf clubs.
In one hand? Right? Was it in one hand?
Were they in one hand?
I think they were.
They might have been. I don't know how he had them held, but he basically had two mini golf putters and...
Two golf balls.
Two golf balls, both blue balls.
Yeah, blue balls.
And taps his blue balls in, and of course they swirl around.
Yeah, the blue balls swirl
around.
Blue balls go in the hole.
Yeah.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, but I thought it was pretty impressive because he had two of them to go, and I actually rewound it and go, what the hell was that? And watched it again.
That was pretty impressive.
Yeah. So he gets it in there. He's, of course, with Lisa and Emily.
Let's see you do that, Michael J. Fox.
Well.
Okay, come on. I meant back in the day.
Oh, okay. So his boxing rival, Gus, shows up and of course disparages him, not for being a werewolf, but he's like, that guy's a freshman.
Mm-hmm. We were merely team wolf freshmen.
And of course that's the breaking point, not the werewolf piece, but then Lisa and Emily are like, hey, yeah, he is a freshman.
Yeah,
and goes
gross.
Over to Gus. I know. I'm like, what? That was your. That's where you drew the line. Not with, you know, having
not
sex with
mythical
beasts.
Not the fact that he
beasts.
Might still have fleas on his body.
Yeah.
But that
having, not that you're having sex with mythical beasts. But that he's a freshman mythical beast.
Gross.
And then it's weird. Gus, like.
Give me a junior vampire any day. or a sophomore mummy. Go ahead.
So, of course, you know, Todd says, hey, let's go. And Gus is like, hey, man to man, like no wolf. You know, you wouldn't be able to take me man to man. And, of course, they kind of go back and forth. And then his rival at some point picks up his golf,
golf
ball.
It's red. It's not blue. He doesn't
it's
have
red.
Blue balls.
Yeah. But then he crushes it in his bare hand to, like, powder. What?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just to prove that he's a macho.
Do you know anybody who can crush a golf ball with
his
bare hands?
Yes, Gus in Teen Wolf 2. I saw it.
Okay, that's fair. So now, Chubbs and Stiles are both trying to study back at the dorm room. And when Todd comes up, they kind of give him the cold shoulder. And he's like, hey, Stiles, we should go out here. We should go party. We'll ride around in my car and pick up some ladies. And he's like, no, I have finals. And then
Stiles or Chubbs. You said that to Chubb, right? Not Stiles.
He said it to Stiles.
Yeah, he says it to Stiles, too, which I'm like, Stiles is actually studying?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know you're a dick when Stiles doesn't want to party with you.
He said something about, like, he said something about, oh, you know what you're turning into? And he goes, what am I turning into, Stiles? And he goes, a jerk? Just kind of, it was like that. Ooh.
Ooh, jerk. Ooh,
Stiles,
yeah.
Just let him have it.
How dare you call him a jerk.
So Todd, realizing he has, like, nobody at this point, he meets with Uncle Harold in the boxing ring, which is a bizarre place to meet him. Like, you called him from hours away from
well, Todd.
From Beaverton or Beacon Town.
Beacon Town. I'm from Beacon Town.
From Todd. Oregon or wherever he was from. I can't even remember.
But, I don't know.
You get him all the way to Colorado and then just in the middle of the night and make him meet you in the boxing ring.
Of course. I got to help Todd.
So they have this heart-to-heart.
Of course I do. I love giving heart-to-hearts.
Well, Todd,
this is what you need to do. Punch the guy. That's boxing.
That's a great advice later. So Uncle Harold says not to be so hard on himself and that he's only human, too.
I'm only human.
Which is not true because you're not only human. You are human and werewolf.
You're not only human.
So Todd doesn't
I'll take
think
a pizza half werewolf, half human, please. I mean, come on. You're not.
So Todd doesn't think he can go up against Gus as a human. But Uncle Harold gives him some old ratty boxing gloves and says, well, he used to be a boxer in college, conveniently. So he can train him the day before or before the big match the next day.
You couldn't help him before? You couldn't tell him that you were a boxing person before? Did you not know about the scholarship before?
Yeah, apparently not.
Apparently not. I thought you would learn about your scholarship before you go to
the
school.
You know. No, in the beginning, he seemed very confused about it. Like, one day they're like, you have no choice. This is the school you're going to. Here's a scholarship.
Right.
And
that's here's a full ride. Usually you know those things.
Yeah. So Todd finds Nikki and apologizes, and he tells her he loves her. And Nikki says, oh, hey, by the way, you missed the final with Professor Brooks. So they go and find Professor Brooks and beg her for a retake. So she says he has until noon the next day.
Professor Brooks is like the smiliest person ever. Like when they're like, Professor Brooks, she's not angry that he missed the test.
Yeah.
She's like, yes?
I think it's because she cares about him.
Right.
Like she does. She shows that she cares for him.
Right.
Throughout the thing. So.
But even when they're throwing frogs. No throwing frogs.
Yeah. So she says that he has until noon the next day, but his match is also at 3, so he should just have enough time.
Yeah, she says the tests take 3 hours. The test takes 3 hours?
Yeah.
What? How many finals do you know?
Freshman
biology class takes 3 hours.
No.
Especially at Hamilton, you at HU. Where students don't know how to turn on the microscope.
Maybe
it normally takes 20 minutes, but it just takes Hamilton students 3 hours.
Well, maybe that's why. Maybe that's why it takes 3 hours for everybody else. He's like, this is just one page. I know, but it took everyone else 3 hours to get through.
This is HU.
So they need to get through this quick. So. Time for another montage.
Oh, God.
To Send Me an Angel.
Send me an angel. Why? Yep. That's this song.
I don't know. So it's just a montage of him studying. He's seeing more and more books open.
We are out of Oingo Boingo songs.
He takes a little make-out slash study sex time.
Like, yeah, I don't think you have time to waste, buddy.
Yeah, right.
You've missed 5 classes.
I know.
And the test is only one page long. Hurry up. Let's go.
And so then that gets done. He goes to class. Of course, he's wearing like... We were like, oh, did they change clothes? Because it looks like he's wearing clothes? A woman's sweater all of a sudden.
He did. He looked like he was wearing a woman's sweater with like also, strawberries on it.
Well, okay. And I also don't get... So when he's the wolf, he wears clothes that are cool, right? Like they're cool regardless of whether he's wearing them or not. And he never wears his glasses.
It's like a suit. He's always wearing a suit or something.
Well, and like striped shirt with suspenders cool. And whatever was cool.
Imagine he has his Oakley sunglasses on.
So, but he never wears his glasses.
But his Murder, She Wrote glasses? That are
his Murder, She Wrote.
That are popular nowadays? Yeah.
So he decides he's going to go back to being a good guy, which means he automatically kind of like dresses dorky again. And has to wear his glasses again? Is that, like, directly tied to how much of a shit you are? Or what?
Maybe he got rid of those glasses, and then he turned into the wolf. Maybe he can't turn into the wolf without those glasses.
Oh, maybe.
But I'm giving this movie too much credit. Well, let's keep going. Are we at the match? The final match?
Oh, well, now we're testing. Because we rolled directly from the Send Me an Angel studying montage into a new testing montage.
Yeah.
This movie is awful. Its montage work is terrible.
Oh, it's
because
terrible.
Because it's just like, usually you have a montage.
It's not even like, it doesn't transition that well into different montages.
Because it's just like, and it's abrupt.
Yeah.
Like, it's not one song fading into the other.
Song.
Yeah.
Another Oingo Boingo song.
It should have been like studying and testing as a montage. But yeah. So we get to the testing montage. They show he finally gets done. And he says, here it is. Professor Brooks, literally, she opens it, looks at a page for about 1 second, and says, well, you did not well enough to pass the course. So she's like, you're not even looking at it. And so she just gives him a passing grade. So now Todd gets to his match. Coach Finstock wants him to fight in every weight class, which is apparently what he's been doing, which is not how it works. Like he did that earlier, too. He put Chubbs in against some random guy, and they're like, they're not even in the same weight class. Oh, it doesn't matter. Well, that's not how that works at all. But he wants him to fight in every weight class. Todd says no, he's part of a team. He wants to go up against Gustafson, but everybody else, you know, they're going to box and they're going to win. They're going to do good. So the dean shows up in the locker room shortly after and says he wants them to go to state, nationals, and to the Olympics. He'll give Todd grades, money, cars, women. He just has to be wolf. Has to be the wolf. And Todd is not excited about that.
No.
So the dean is now walking to the match when Professor Brooks stops him. She says to leave Todd alone. And he kind of treats her like crap and says, ooh, is this a threat?
What are you going to do, throw a frog at me?
Yeah, she goes, this is a threat. And her eyes start glowing red. Turns out, she's a middle-aged wolf. All along.
Middle-aged wolf.
But yes, her eyes start glowing
red,
too.
She's a leswolf.
She's a werebull.
Oh.
She says, you don't know who you're messing with. And she walks away. And you can see she has a tail poking from under the backside of her dress. Did any of the teen wolves ever have werewolf tails?
Yeah, they grow up and they have, you know, tails later on, I guess.
And maybe it's a female werewolf.
Maybe the females. We've never seen a female wolf. Yeah, so that's interesting.
But we don't see. And I was kind of like, oh, I want to see a female werewolf in like the full transformation thing. We don't get to ever see.
That's
that.
True. Yeah, maybe they were trying to do a, you know, trilogy.
Teen Wolf 2. Your professor's a werewolf.
Maybe.
So Todd shows up in human form. Of course, everybody boos.
Because it's Jason Bateman. They're not Justine Bateman.
So the dean
Bring
asks,
on Mallory! Where's Mallory?
So the dean asks what the meaning of this is. Todd says it's his last match and gives his car keys back. And of course, the dean then says, Good. I hope he kills you.
Whoa.
Whoa.
I had to go at least a few years into school before the dean died.
I don't remember any of these lines from, like, Heroes.
No.
You know?
Oh, you don't?
No.
Oh, no. They had stuff like that.
Oh, did they? Okay.
They were all too busy dying to actually have time for anybody to threaten
Jesus.
Them.
Yeah.
So now they box. Gus basically is kicking Todd's ass.
Well, can I go back? There's cheerleaders at this boxing match.
Yeah. And they're wearing like old timey like 50s Letterman sweaters. Yes. Like boola boola hey. Boola boola.
What kind
yay.
Of cheer do you yeah. do at a boxing match?
And if you haven't noticed, Styles is also
right
cheerleading
foot
with them.
Left. Is he really? I didn't
yeah.
notice that.
He had pom poms and he was cheering with them.
Yeah, because he took women's cheerleading. Because it was a bird course.
So
the main match.
Yes, yeah, so they're going. Todd apparently has never learned to block in all the time that he's.
Can we
been
say
doing
the
this.
Announcer? The where the
oh
the,
yeah
the announcer guy looked like Katie Lang.
He did look like.
Katie I mean,
Lang.
It was. I was like, oh, what is going on with that guy?
Yeah,
and I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
He was very gender. He was very gender non-specific.
It was gender non-specific, and it kind of was like, whoa, for the 90s or for the 80s, I was just like, what's going on?
Yeah, I really am not sure.
Yeah, I was just like, anyway. I was taken back by that. But
he's never learned to block, so he's just getting hit yeah, in the face over and over and in again. The stomach and the chest and whatever. At the end of the round, though, they're in the turn at the turnbuckle, and Gus punches Styles while he's over there, like. But that doesn't disqualify him, of course, because anything goes in here. You can be a werewolf. You can be, like, way outside your weight class. You could be punching civilians. So it's all okay, apparently, in this boxing tournament. Excuse me. Todd continues to get his ass kicked. At the end of round two, you know, you always see those things in movies where somebody from the stands, like, mimics or pantomimes something that's supposed to be like, oh yeah, don't forget to do this.
Yes.
Or they, you know, kind of give them that one word.
Yeah.
Like float the ball or whatever yeah. it was. The but so Uncle Harold goes, eh, and does like a
punch the guy.
Punch him in the
don't
face.
Don't forget to punch him.
He's doing this.
Yeah,
little,
no, that's what boxing is, Uncle Harold.
Yeah, he's doing this little punch motion. We're like, yeah.
Why don't you stick to hardware?
Yeah, Uncle Harold, like he knows. He's supposed to punch him in the face, but he can't.
Don't forget that. That's my wisdom to you.
Uncle Harold calls out to Todd and reminds him of his special technique, which appears to be punch him in the face. So round three, again, gets his ass handed to him. Like, this is not going well. And so he gets knocked down. He's laying on the mat.
I'm going to tell you, like, after a while, I just was not paying attention to this.
Well, right.
Match
it was like, it was oh just my, was taking so, forever.
It was taking forever. Yeah, it was taking
this
forever.
This is what you should have had in the fucking montage.
Right.
So he's laying on the mat, and his eyes start to turn red. But Todd suppresses it a little bit. Like, he pulls it back because he right. does not want to wolf out. So he sure. gets up before the 10 count. And continues to get beat up. Like, just still is getting
Jesus.
Beat up.
Oh.
So, the rival finally says, fight like a man, dog. Give me your best shot. And, of course, Todd hits old Glass Jaw McGee in a half dozen times, and he's down for the count. Like, he hits him once, and the guy's like, whoa! And, like, stumbles back. Like, that was it. You just got to hit, like, six times. And of course he goes down for the count. Everybody celebrates. Nikki and Todd kiss.
Yes, everyone. Oh, yay!
Yeah. The end.
The end. Credits.
Credits.
Dropped the deuce.
Dropped it.
So this is basically the same movie as Teen Wolf.
Yeah. Not as good, but yeah.
No, you're right. So that's what we thought of it, but let's hear what other people thought
yeah,
of it, shall we?
Let's.
This person gave it a 10 out of 10. They are Fallen Frames, and they say, what a blast.
If you like Teen Wolf, you'll like Teen Wolf 2 practically almost the same amount. It's a great movie, really. You just have to be able to make fun of it. It's one of those great bad movies. Jason Bateman's hair basically makes the movie worthwhile, as does the shoddy special effects and semi-awful wolf costume. Notable moments include the horrible sound editing. This is a 10 out of 10, by the way. Horrible sound editing during the first boxing match and the amount in which Todd first transforms. Plus, there's a musical number. Come on, people. I bought it because of Jason Bateman, but I loved it because of the heart, humor, and basically the plot and stunning cliches. But I really did actually enjoy it. Seriously, I'm not even being sarcastic. I sort of wish, though, that they've gotten rid of those suspenders Jason was so fond of. What does she mean by that?
That seems all over the place.
Oh, I know. That's why I had to read it. That was awful. Your review was awful. A 1 out of 10 for her review.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, you liked it to make fun of it? Now, granted, I like this movie, too, to make fun of it, but I'm not giving it a 10 out of 10 because
right,
of that.
That's not worth a 10 out of 10. You say,
no.
Ooh, yeah, 6 out of 10, guys.
But honestly, I couldn't find that many good reviews, and that was probably one of the better reviews. This person gave it a 1 out of 10. They're Mr. 6. It says 2, T-O-O.
Big Man 6.
Much of a bad thing, right? Jason Bateman is no Michael J. Fox. Ouch. And Teen Wolf 2 is not as good as Teen Wolf. A big ouch. Not that the original had anything going for it except for Fox, but the sequel doesn't even try. Just a change of locale and a cousin in the same family who gets on the boxing team as a wolf in questioning, forcing the greats to suffer and blah, blah, blah. Give me a break. For a comedy as unsubstantial as this one, is to expound on the virtues of education is like Joey Buttafuoco talking about celibacy. Yeah.
What?
I'm sorry about... Yeah.
What?
I'm sorry, but Teen Wolf 2 is just a bad excuse for a sequel to be a movie that wasn't that great to begin with. Forget about it. That was my Joey Buttafuoco, by the way. No stars and no excuses for Teen Wolf 2, the movie that proves a movie about a wolf can just as easily turn into a dog. And that is her review. I don't know what the fascination for Joey Buttafuoco is of this review and why you compare Teen Wolf 2 to Joey Buttafuoco, but I think that's harsh.
Yeah, that's pretty
harsh. I don't think that this movie is Joey Buttafuoco bad.
No.
Do you think?
No.
Maybe Tonya Harding bad, but not Joey Buttafuoco bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it something to laugh at?
Yeah.
Yeah, this movie is not a good movie.
That was pretty over. That was
this movie is pretty awful. The first one isn't that great of a movie, and they're right that Michael J. Fox is pretty much the best part of that movie.
Yes.
I enjoy Styles in the first movie. But yeah, Michael J. Fox is probably the best part of that movie. Having said that, this is a fun movie to just kind of laugh at, too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It is a good, bad movie.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it's... This is early on. This is Jason Bateman's first big screen role, or first screen role.
Like a movie role?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He wasn't in movies before this, I don't think.
Right, mostly television.
Yeah. And if you're just watching it because you're a fan of Jason Bateman, I think you'd be disappointed because he really hasn't, like... His style wasn't really developed.
That was
yet
in
2000, point.
Though.
Right.
2006.
But his style wasn't developed at this point. So
right.
The rest of development and stuff like that, he's more refined by that time.
Right. But when someone's looking back at a career, I think she's just kind of like, I like Jason Bateman, so I'm going to watch this movie.
Right. I get that.
Yeah.
So, what did you think was the best part of this movie?
Honestly, Jason Bateman was probably the better part of the movie. I actually enjoyed the science professor, too.
Kim Darby.
Towards the end of the movie. Towards the beginning of the movie, it was kind of cheesy. But when she did confront the dean, it was all like... I liked that moment of the movie because I wanted to see more of kind of the aspect of having not just one wolf in the movie, but kind of multiple wolves.
Mm-hmm.
Like a wolf pack.
I don't know. But mostly Jason Bateman, I want to say. That fabulous music scene was amazing, too. That sarcasm, folks. Jason Bateman probably was. But the skin of my teeth, good. Like, he's not that great in this movie.
Yeah.
But he is probably the best part of the movie. You?
Yeah, I think Jason Bateman is kind of an obvious answer with some of it. But, right. I don't think his performance is great.
I actually enjoy Nikki in this movie.
See, I didn't really care for her too much.
Well, I enjoyed her. I didn't say I liked her.
But to me, it's more interesting to see where Jason Bateman was. Like, it's the just to be like, oh, look, it's an old role of his. And, like, see how his acting has changed. I think it's interesting seeing him in that perspective. But even more, I think that Kim Darby, I liked her in this.
I did too.
I did. I think she was good. And, like, the time she was on screen, it was like, to me, it was like a character, because we've never met his parents or whatever in here. It was like this moment where it was a character who genuinely cared for him and not like he's in a romantic way or in whatever. She was concerned for him because I think she was just like, hey, I know what you're going through.
It's hard because the best part of this movie is how awful it really is.
Yeah. Yeah, true. Also, and this sounds weird because I don't like how it was used throughout the movie, but I do like a lot of the music that was in the movie.
The Oingo Boingo?
Well, the Oingo Boingo and like the, there was a part like in the alumni reception thing.
Yeah, I actually, liked that scene.
Yeah.
To me, that was probably the best, like, because it was like building up to a tense scene.
Yeah.
Now, what we saw, like the visuals of it weren't great, but I think the execution was.
But the music supported that growing tension until it stopped.
Yeah, I thought that was my favorite. I actually was going to say that to begin with.
Yeah, then you were brought back to the ridiculousness that was the movie. Right. So, but no, I enjoyed the way, I enjoyed the music, not necessarily the way it was always used, like back to back to back to back to back montages. But I enjoyed the music that
was there. This is a movie you need to watch as a terrible movie. And if you don't, you're not going to enjoy it.
Correct. Would you reboot, continue, or cancel?
Well, it already was rebooted through the MTV series. Which was a drama, which was set in, you know, it was drama. And there was a lot of, like, undertones, like allegories to homosexuality and to other things as well.
Yeah.
Discrimination. So I think you could, I don't want to reboot this, but they could and make it not even more modern, but make it even fun a reboot. But I say don't reboot it.
Yeah.
I'm done.
I think cancel it, like, because I think you can't really, if you try to reproduce it and make another humorous series of it, I don't think it's going to be as good as the original.
And if you try to do something like the MTV movie, you're just doing something like, or the MTV show, you're doing something like the MTV show.
Yeah, so just let the MTV show do it. Like, I'm not going to watch it, but whatever.
Well, it's over with.
Is it?
They're done with the series.
Or
I think so, yeah.
I thought it was still in its list.
I think it's over.
I don't know.
But I don't know. I didn't watch it.
Do you think this movie stands on its own?
Oh my God, this is a hard question, I think, for this movie. Because to parts of it do and parts of it don't. I don't know. What do you say?
I say no.
I say no,
too. Because the mythology around the werewolf stuff is really set up in the first movie.
That's true.
And they don't go back to it in this one. All that you know is his, like, so if we would just completely get rid of the first one and thinking about that, all you know is that he's like, I hate when you change it to the werewolf. He changes back and forth into the werewolf.
Yeah. And if I'm watching this one, I don't want to watch the first one. Like, it doesn't want to make me watch the first one.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't think this one stands on its own.
Yeah.
And it really doesn't want to make me watch the first one.
No.
Okay, I have something tough to admit. I'm really not a fan of Teen Wolf in general.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
I really, like,
I think when I was younger, I liked it because of the cheesy aspect of it. I mean, it is a very cheesy movie.
I like Michael J. Fox.
Yeah.
And I think he's probably my favorite part of it. But overall, the movie, like, I watched it. gosh, it was like a year ago, maybe less than a year
ago. Oh, I don't think it holds up.
And I went, okay. Like, yeah,
it's a terrible movie. And they're lucky they got Michael J. Fox in it and not Jonathan Silverman. I don't know if he wanted to do it. I'm just making another stupid actor.
Or Jason Bateman.
Or Jason Bateman.
Yeah. So I know it does not make me want to watch the first either. But it does make me want to crowd surf on top of a van, or surf on top of a van.
There is, I told you that the Teen Wolf, the first movie, it says thank you to our friends from Fremont, Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
They interviewed a bunch of
where you grew up.
Where I grew up, yeah. They interviewed a bunch of, I think when my cousin Kyle was in school, they interviewed a bunch of teenagers to get like a teenage aspect of writing the movie. And then they shot some of Teen Wolf in Nebraska. You can see Cornhusker stuff.
Nice.
Like throughout. And then, but then when he's on the van, you can see a palm tree in the background. And I'm like, yeah, that ain't Nebraska at all.
you haven't seen our palm trees?
No.
Oh.
No, have you? You're looking at me like
fanciest parts.
Go ahead.
Okay, so
I think we already answered the other one, didn't we?
Yeah.
We
just kind of slid right into the.
Well, I don't think it does. If you watch this first movie, there's no way that you would get excited for the first one.
Yeah.
I don't think you would. No. I wouldn't want to.
Yeah.
I think the other way around, if you really enjoyed the first movie, you would go.
Oh yeah.
I'll watch the Teen Wolf 2. But this way, no.
And sum your experience up in two words.
I put rough script.
R-U-F-F?
Yes, script. Rough script, because I couldn't tell the difference between a dog and a wolf.
You put dog tired?
Yeah. Is that what you put, dog
no,
tired?
No, I didn't. I put misguided attempt.
Nothing new is also what I put, you know, money grab. This is definitely a money grab movie.
Yeah.
Because it is a carbon copy of the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing is new in this movie. They just changed. I don't know why they chose boxing, but we talked about that. They just changed the sport. They made him fall in love with someone who was kind of nerdy-esque, but then made the popular girl go crazy for the wolf.
Yeah,
and then
man, but they really
they
played,
did the same thing.
They really upped the nerd factor with Jason Bateman and what's her bucket,
Nikki. Yeah,
too. Like they really pushed that.
Yeah, and I'm gonna think in the first movie, they knew how to control a microscope, turn it on.
Well, but think about like whenever Michael J. Fox is in one of these movies. He's never like that much of a dork.
No, because Michael J. Fox is cool.
Yeah. He's cool, but he's not popular.
He's not popular. That's what makes Back to the Future great.
Yeah, and that's what happened in this one, too.
I think Jason Bateman has always played those characters that were not so cool. That were kind of, even in Arrested Development, he's not the coolest part of that show.
Right.
He's kind of the straight man or the guy on the outside looking in. So, yeah, so we've been deuced by Teen Wolf 2. We are going to continue our werewolf. What do we got going on in this series, Jeremy?
So we have Ginger Snaps back, or Ginger Snaps 2, whichever one it is. Oh yeah, it's Snaps back. We have,
and those are werewolf. I've never seen these movies. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, we have. You know what? I saw the series years ago. I was like, "What's Ginger Snaps?" And I watched it and was just like, "I enjoy this because it's Canadian."
And I enjoy anything Canadian.
Yeah, there you go. Clearly,
Canadian. We should actually do that one next, shall we? Because it's almost Canadian Thanksgiving.
We should, there in honor of Canadian Thanksgiving.
In honor of Canadian Thanksgiving, we'll give you
next.
A Canadian werewolf. So let's do Ginger Snaps, too.
There you go.
Snaps back?
I think it's Ginger Snaps back.
Snaps to be
because then there's Ginger Snaps the beginning, which is the third one.
Is that more of a prequel?
Yeah, it's like back in the 1800s.
Okay, whatever. I
enjoy the series. And then... there is The Howling 2.
Mm-hmm.
Your sister's a werewolf. Now, we aren't going to be able to have the crossover that we originally thought we would, but that's okay. We'll see if we can snag some guests in here somewhere.
Yeah, who knows?
And then we have American Werewolf in Paris.
American Werewolf, yeah.
And then We are doing Frankenstein versus the Wolf.
We're doing that many werewolves? How many werewolf movies?
October has five Sundays.
Oh, October. My God, we're doing five. My God, Robin Dunn was four.
That's true.
Do we just keep up in our game? Okay.
Yes.
Where can people find us?
We can
listen to our mess.
People
mess
can find
of our podcast.
At thedeucepodcast.podbean.com. Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play Music. And then, of course, check us out on our Facebook page for The Deuce. We'll have fun things on there. We talk about different topics. You can find our episodes right through there. Plus, you can see a lot of podcasts from some of our other partner sites. So, there you go.
There you go. So, you have been deuced with Team Wolf 2. Looking forward to some more wolf movies in the future. But from now on, we'll just say this, that the sequel is king.
You broke my heart, because I couldn't dance. You didn't even walk me around. But now I'm back to let you know I can really shake them down. Do you know?